Amen. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
We have a few more minutes. Let's get into the word. Come on, put your hands together. Thank you, Charlie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day you have made. We rejoice and we celebrate all that you're doing in and through our lives. We celebrate our moms today. Father, I pray for every mother under the sound of my voice that today would be such a special day in their heart and their life. Just not because of the support they might feel or the phone calls or cards with it may or may not happen, but because your presence begins to touch them, to let them know how special they are today to so many people. Now bless your word today as it goes forth. Let it not be my words. Open our hearts to receive from you. And we thank you for that. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We've been doing a series. And if you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you here. At Hope Church, we give anonymity, which means hang out and hide out. But just so we're all on the same page, we've been doing a series called He Is, I Am. Say it with me. He is.
He is.
I am.
I am.
You guys sound so awesome. For 8:30 service, praise God, you must have had coffee this morning. Say, He is.
He is.
I am.
I am.
One more time. Say, He is.
He is.
I am. And that is the secret code, you might say, how to access everything God has for you. Because God realizes, and we saw in Matthew 6, Jesus said it, that the Father knows that you have need of stuff. There's some stuff each and every one of us are needing right now. It might be different stuff. It might be different degrees of that stuff. But there's something every person under the sound of my voice is wanting and praying for. And it's just not the people who are praying, but even in the world, they're looking, trying to get some stuff. Might be money, might be a job, might be a career, might be health, might be a friendship, it might be a relationship, might be a marriage, might be a family. The list goes on and on to the possibilities of the stuff that people want and need. And in Matthew 6, Jesus said, your Father knows that you have need of it, but don't pursue it like the world does. See, we have a common tendency in our world to take what was like the old job policies and procedures and bring it into a new job, and we think the way that we used to do it there should work where we're at here. And we know from in a practical aspect that you can't do it at your job. And yet we'll do it. We'll come from the kingdom of darkness, which is the world system, and we'll get saved and come into God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, the family of God. Amen. But we will continue to operate the way we used to for stuff, and we can't figure out why it's not working. Jesus said, here's the key. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is he saying? He's not just saying go to church. He's just not saying pray. Those are important things to do. He's saying, let me show you, if you make God's policies and procedures a priority, then it says in the next verse, and all these things that you want, all these things that even the world's going for, when you do it God's way, he will add it into your life. Now, this doesn't mean you just say a prayer and sit back and do nothing. No, no, no. This is like a huge recipe for an amazing cake that you're going to bake. And if you don't know how to bake a cake, you don't do one ingredient and run and do it. It doesn't work that way. We all know it takes more than one. So this whole series is different ingredients. Amen? And so, but we're learning how to receive what God wants for us to receive. It's not being greedy. Greed is wanting what doesn't belong to you. We're talking about everything that your Heavenly Father purchased for you by his Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for you. Amen. Everything that's in that covenant is available to you. Yes. Hebrews 11 tells us that we inherit it or we receive it through faith and patience. So it's accessible to you as a child of God, not just when you get to heaven, but here on earth. Amen. Because you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You inherit the promises of God. That's something that happens when the family member who has it dies. God doesn't die, but Jesus died on the cross. And when he died, it became not only brought you into the family, it made you available to access what's a part of your inheritance. So it's not a matter, and the religious world, and I'm not into religion, I define that as man's rules to get to God. That's when people get involved and move away from the Bible and do what they think might be right, but if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not right. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not right. Don't even take my word for stuff. We tell you over and over again, challenge everything with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, I don't care who says it. On TV, not on TV, few people, a lot of people, don't matter. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not right, because God watches over his word to perform it. Well, then if it does line up with God's word, even if it's a little different than I've ever been exposed to, God's watching over that word, even though it might be different, but it'll work. And through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So when Jesus died on the cross and you get saved, that work that he did on the cross of Calvary not only opened the door for you to come into the family of God, but immediately made you available, qualified you to access what belongs to you. Amen. Well, Pastor, why don't I have it? Well, if our mindset is of infancy, the Bible says that a child, though he is heir of all and owns it all, if he stays a child, he does not have access. That means if I'm a child, I think like a child. But if I begin to change my way of thinking and make him a priority in the way that the Father does stuff, yeah, it's just not a matter of Jesus, you're Lord, and I love you, so everything should come to me. No, you have to find out how he operates. Right. Amen. Because God doesn't respond to tears. Though we think that if we pray and get 14 tears off our cheek, that makes a powerful prayer. Come on, somebody. If we get really loud and groan and scream, that should add that God will respond to that. If I really, 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 really need it, God will respond to that. No, God's system is different than the world's system. God says, here's my system, and I created this system, and if you follow my system, these things will be added to you. So we found out in Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that without faith, because we receive by faith and patience, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not a rewarder of those who diligently seek the reward. See, that's the world system. Am I saying that you should pursue goals and careers? Absolutely not. Don't take one truth and go to extreme. You got to keep it in balance. Right. But when your priority is the stuff and you're praying just for the stuff, how's it working for you? Maybe we have to be willing to be thick enough skin to say, God, maybe I don't have a handle on all this. Maybe there is some room for growth. And Lord, show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to do different. Because it's the desire of your Father, Jesus said. It's the delight of the Father to give you the kingdom, which is just not you going to heaven. It's everything that belongs to you in the kingdom. Yeah. See, the prodigal son came back, and the brother of the prodigal son, he was still a brother, and he said to his father, you haven't given me anything. And the father said, son, don't you realize that all that I have belongs to you? See, what we want you to get to a place of revelation is that when you walk around, you don't have to do it the way the world does it. You can get money at the world system. You can get relationships the world system. You can get married, have a family, and follow the world system, but it won't be as good as when you do it God's way. When God gives it to you, he doesn't add sorrow or stress to it. Because I see people who have fame and have money, and then when you get behind the scenes and talk to them, or you don't even have to talk to them anymore, just watch a little reality TV. Can you tell? Some of them are a little confused about life. Some are busted, disgusted, broken, sad. You would think all that money they have, you would think that would make you happy. It doesn't when you do it the world system. Because when you do it the world's way, the devil's going to try to come back one day to say, I own you. I made you, and if I made you, I can take you down if you don't follow me. But when you do a God system, he who brought that to you, he who brought you to that place of success or victory or relationship, he is well able to keep you there. I'm telling you, you sleep so much better knowing that you're in the hand of the and will of the Almighty God, and he that brought you there, they might try to steal it, but they can't steal it. God is more than enough. He's well able to keep you. Keep you safe, keep you in rest, keep your mind and your heart in peace. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. In fact, the Bible says, if you break it down, that he will keep, sustain, and protect your mind, body, and estate in perfect harmony, balance, and peace because your priority and purpose is set on him. Amen. That's pretty good. Yes. You do God's way, you can enjoy what he's bringing into your life and not be stressing about the responsibility what you have in your life. I don't know. I want to stay where I'm at because I see people that are in management, and that's a lot of stress. Sure, it's a lot of stress if you do it the world's way. Yeah. You do it God's way, and He'll give you a grace, and all of a sudden that weight doesn't seem like a weight to you, and you're able to effectively manage more than you ever could do on your own, that God may give glory. Come on, somebody. I mean, this can't be left to just a Sunday thing to give you emotional goosebumps. This has to be a Monday thing at your work, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances, in your health. I'm telling you, when you get the grace of God in any area, you do it God's way, and there is a freedom and a liberty for you to be living beyond your best so that God gets glory. You become a billboard of His goodness wherever you go. It's an aroma, we saw in one verse, that wherever you go, your life of victories are an aroma of God's goodness wherever you go. Well, see, we spend so much time in the church world seeking after the stuff instead of seeking after Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, but you can't go after somebody if you don't know who they are. You can't pursue somebody if you don't know who they are. If I told you that I have a friend that had the perfect job for you, that three times your pay, all you had to do is go to the airport and talk to John Peterman, and you know, I mean, he'll just do what he says, and you got the job. Well, if you don't know who John Peterman is, all you do is see a lot of people. See, we got people that go to church to see a lot of different ideas, but they don't know who Jesus is in the area of their life, and so they don't know who to talk to. But when you know Him as your Savior, when you know that He's the Savior, you can get saved. When you know Him as a healer, you can be healed. When you know Him as the provider, as the shepherd, then you can have provision. The Lord is my shepherd. Did you see what happened? When he received the revelation of who He was, it affected what He had. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Why would he say it? Because he knows it. Why does he know it? Because he's been spending time in the presence of God. He's been spending time in the presence of God. So when we spend time in God's presence, and that's through reading His word, that's through praying, that's through worship, the goal is not which way. The goal is to make sure you spend time with Him. He reveals Himself to you. And when He reveals Himself to you, He's revealing you who He is in that area of your life. And when you know who He is, it all of a sudden connects into your life. Amen. Why does it connect? Because Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. The branch automatically accesses everything that belongs to the vine. Jesus said, I'm the head and you're the body. There's not a separation of blood flow from your head to the body. And if there is, we'll pray for you real quick. But the blood in your body should be flowing to your head, and the blood flowing through your head should be coming to your body. It all works together as one, does it not? Amen. I said it all works together as one, does it not? Amen. See, we've been fighting and saying, God, send blood to my left hand. Well, take off the rubber band because it's restraining what already should be happening automatically. It's not you trying to get something that you don't have. It's when you get a revelation of who He is, you'll see yourself different because now you're a connection, a reflection of Him. And now you start saying, wait a minute, why am I praying for money? I have the blessings of God in my life. Well, Pastor, I don't see it yet. You don't see it in the natural yet because you are just getting a revelation by faith of who you are. See, when you begin, God said to Abraham, I'm calling you a father. I don't see any children. Come here, let me show you some things. Yeah. See those stars? Count them. Yeah. All right. I wonder how long he did this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How long did he do it before he came to the conclusion, God, that's more than I can even perceive? Yeah. And God said, I want you to realize what I'm about to do through you is greater than what you can do on your own. What I'm about to do through you is greater than you can conceive in your own perspective. What I have for you is beyond your understanding. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Eye has not seen. Come on, somebody. Ear has not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Not love the stuff, love Him. See, as long as we're loving the stuff, God can't even give you access to it because you'll mishandle it. When you make Him a priority and begin to love Him, then you have access. And what does He do? He reveals it. The next verse says, but it is revealed to you by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to show you He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your guidance. He's your wisdom. Do you know Jesus has been made wisdom unto you? That's what the Bible says. If you don't know it, then you won't have faith for it. The Bible says that how can someone believe unless they've heard, and how can they hear unless someone speaks? See, what we speak is just not what you can do. We begin to speak what God is doing in your life. Amen? He's your healer. Say, he's my healer. Come on, somebody. Say, he's my healer in Jesus' name. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's my peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Come on, somebody. He's the father to the fatherless. Come on, somebody. He's the all-sufficient one. He's ever-present, even in help, good times and bad times. When you begin to see who he is, it's a connection of who you are. Now, out of Hebrews chapter 12, the next chapter, in verse 2, look at this verse on the screen. Hebrews 12, you can turn to it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One translation says the one who started it and the one who's going to complete it or perfect it. He started it. Paul wrote to the church to say, why that which begun in the spirit do you try to complete in the flesh? What we have to see is that God started it, he will complete it. Amen. Once he gives you a revelation of who he is, he's going to work this thing out. Amen. It's not a here you go and it's a baton. It's here we go and I stick with you. Yeah. As long as you let me stick with you. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice, that means you know him and recognize him and open the door. I'll come in. See, whatever area of your life that you need to open your door, you maybe have opened your door to him as your savior, but not as your healer. Maybe you haven't opened the door to your finances to him. Maybe you haven't opened the door to him to come into your marriage and help you work on your marriage. I don't know. There's a lot of different doors in our world. But notice, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Let me say this, because there's doesn't mean you don't do anything. James says, faith without works is dead. There's something for you to do. Look to your neighbor and say, there's something I have to do. Look at the other neighbor and says, and you do too. Something we all have to do. So we got to keep it in balance, because some people say, I'll just pray. And I'll just say in Jesus' name, and I'll just go home and do nothing. And if God wants me to have it, he'll bring it to me. No, you're going hungry. There's something you have to do. But here's the perspective to this. What God wants you to do, or what God shows you to do, it's not to make it happen. It's to allow it to happen. Let me say that again. When God asks you to do something and you obey, it's not to make it happen. It's to allow it to happen. Oh, I like that. I got to say that one more time. It's just for my benefit of it all. When God asks you to do something, it's not that you obeying God makes it happen. Your obedience opens the door and allows him to do what only he can do. It allows it to happen. So when God says, I want you to do this and you obey, but Lord, I don't really want to. I know you don't want to. But Lord, it might be, I like doing it my way. Well, that's not working. God is, when he asks you to do something or change, it's a course correction. It's just all about direction, because he knows the path and the place where you are and the place where he's taking you and the path to get it. He's better than a GPS system. He knows exactly where the delays are, where the bumps are, and he can get you all around that if you're willing to stay with him. He's not going to give you the 20 steps. He's just going to say, follow me. Yeah. Stay close to me. Yeah. And he'll say, now step over there. But Lord, I don't like taking a step over there. You step over, you're going to stumble. Yeah. Okay, Lord, I'm going to obey. Now watch what happens. When you obey, you don't make it happen. See, that's what we got to get. We start doing stuff in obedience, and then we start taking credit that we did it. No. You simply obeyed. Right. And when you simply obeyed, that didn't make it happen. It allowed it to happen. When you obey, it didn't make it to happen. It allowed it to happen. I've talked to people, I'm a self-made person. No, you're not very much then, because you're going to do it God's way. When you're obedience, you don't make it happen. You allow it to happen. And he comes in. That's why the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the glory may be of God and not of man. If all you have, you can take credit for, it's not enough. If all you've done, you can take credit for, you haven't done enough. See, God wants to work through you so at such a level in your life, in your world, that you look at it and say, yeah, I know myself better than that. There's no way. Right. That can't be me. It had to be him. Say, my obedience
doesn't make it happen,
but allows it to happen.
Now,
I want you to notice this next verse we're going to read in 1 John. I'm sorry, James. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. For any man that is a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, let me just pause there. This doesn't mean that every time you hear somebody say something, you have to do. This is not the every time you go and you hear even a preacher say something, you have to do. This is when God reveals his word to you to do. See, some of us are so exhausted in the church world, we can only come every 6 months because it takes us 6 months to recover from the last time we went because you're loaded down with about 30 things that you're supposed to do and 50 things you can't do. And you're like, oh my goodness, it'll take me years to get this figured out. And you're all messed up. No, 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 you're not walking with Jesus. You're just following somebody else's advice. This is not a cop-out of, oh, I don't have to do anything anybody tells me, and you'll still stay right where you're at. You have to be open for God to speak to you from his word. But when God's word comes into your heart and you say, how do I know? You'll know. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit has a way of letting you know. I want you to start doing, okay, that must be God because I know it's not me. I don't want to do that. So wait till the Lord places on your heart to give. Wait till the Lord places on your heart to forgive. Come on, somebody. But when he speaks to your heart to do something from the word of God, notice, if you're a hearer of that, a receiver of that, and not a doer, you're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, that's actually saying you're like a person who looks in a mirror. Did you look in a mirror this morning? Think about it. You should look in the mirror this morning. Here would be, so, I'm joking. So anyway, that didn't go over too well. Hey, you need more coffee. And second or third service, I know it'll go real well. So anyway, the person who looks at themselves in the mirror, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? You see yourself, right? If you don't, we got issues. Right? When you look in the mirror, you see, expect to see a reflection of who you are. Right? That's not complicated, right? I mean, if you go looking in the mirror to see somebody else, so notice, anybody's a hearer of the word and not a doer of what God is speaking to his heart to do. He's like a person beholding his natural face in the mirror. Next verse. For he beholds himself or sees his reflection and goes away. Now notice this. And quickly or straightway, quickly forgets what manner of man, or you can say person, what manner of person he was. You know what that tells me? When you read the word and God begins to show you, speak to your heart, that direction is just not a course correction. That direction is giving you identity of who you are. When you begin to, and when you begin to obey, you're reminding yourself who you are. If you don't know who you are, then you don't know what belongs to you. If you don't know who you are, then you don't know what you can do. If you don't know who you are, then you don't know what you can stand up against. But when you know who you are, let me give you an example. Have you ever, thinking back years ago, when you were in school and had a good teacher, did you ever give the teacher problems? Not any of you. I'll take all the blame today. And it wasn't always the teachers. We used to love substitute teachers. Come on, somebody. Right? Because they knew how to teach, but they weren't too sure who they were. And all you had to do is just see that glimmer of insecurity in their eye, and you had them. Come on. You'd mess with their head. You'd mess with their teaching. It'd be all messed up. Why? Because you had enough wisdom, even at that child, to know that teacher, that adult's not too sure. But if you had a substitute teacher that knew who they were, you might try it, but they brought everybody back in order, did they not? See, what the devil knows enough to know when you don't know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, he will mess with you and push your buttons and push you beyond your boundaries just to see what he can get by with. John 10:10, Jesus said the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But when you know who you are, It's not a matter of you trying to get it. See, the thief doesn't try to give you something you don't want. He tries to take what belongs to you. And when you know who you are, you can say, wait a minute, devil. That doctor said this, but that's not what the Bible says. I'm not going to tolerate that evil report. If you don't think your identity in Christ is not important, every time the devil tempted Jesus, he started with a, if you are the Son of God. Because if Jesus ever moved upon the important point of who he was and didn't know who he was, then he couldn't do what God had called him to do. He couldn't stand in the area. Even demons recognize that authority. We know who you are, they said. You're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. They weren't telling Jesus anything he didn't know.
Right.
Why? Because he knew who he was. Therefore, he knew who he was connected to.
Yeah.
He knew what he could do.
Right.
He knew what he could stop. He knew what he could say no to. See, when you what sin and the devil and life in general will do, it will deteriorate your own spiritual self-image, that you begin to think that you deserve that sickness, or you don't qualify for God to bless you, or that you're not that as important as anybody else. No, we're equally and uniquely different, but equally important.
Amen.
And when the devil gets you to think, oh, you're nothing, guess what you've done? You've unlocked the door. But when you realize, wait a minute. God's asking me to do something. My obedience reminds me of who I am because it helps me to know how to approach God. It helps me to know how to defend against the enemy. It helps me how to live life. All of a sudden, I'm not trying to get blessed. I am already blessed, and I'm beginning to access what rightfully belongs to me. When you pull that rubber band off that hand that's restricted blood to that left fingers of yours that are tingling, you all you have to do is pull it off and say, there goes the blood. It's going to be better now. It might not feel better immediately, but you know the blood is flowing, and it's coming together, and what rightfully belong to you, it's coming in place. And when you understand the principles of God's word, when he tells you to give, it's not a matter of, Lord, I'm trying just to get a little more. You are already blessed. You're not trying to get a healing. You're the healed of the Lord, the Bible says. By his stripes, you were healed. You say, but that don't make sense. I'm still feeling pain. That's the temporary. You got to see it God's way. God who calls those things which be not as though they were. See, God doesn't call the things which are as not. He calls the things which are not as though they were. So that means he doesn't need a canvas to paint a beautiful picture. The moment he sees the absence, he injects himself and brings life to that. So you might say, I have nothing. That's a good start because out of nothing, God created the heavens and the earth. He doesn't need the materials to form it. He speaks it, and it goes into existence. Isaiah 55:11, as God's word goes forth, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that to which it's been sent. When you get under this understanding of this revelation of who he is and who you are, the word of God is moving and flowing like a blood flow into that area, and it might not happen immediately, but it will happen. It will happen. It can't stop it. You got to keep obeying to remind yourself of who you are. It will happen. The devil can't stop it. The enemies can't talk you out of it. They can't prevent it from it. David said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That tells me that you don't have to get everybody to like you to get all that God has for you. Woo! Hashtag got my hope. You don't have to get everybody to agree with you to get everything God has for you. Because it's not dependent on the stuff around you. It's Matthew 13. It's the word on inside of your heart. The word inside your heart. But you don't know, Pastor, it's looking pretty dark. I know, but you're the light. And light pushes out darkness. Darkness can't comprehend, can't hold it back. See, maybe it's dark because darkness is defined as the absence of light. Maybe it's dark not because the enemy's winning, but maybe because we haven't opened the door of the entrance of his word brings light, the Bible says. When you open up that word into your life and say, all right, Lord, I'm receiving what you're speaking in my heart today, and I'm going to obey, guess what? You're bringing light. When you bring light, darkness has to flee. Hallelujah. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how long you've been doing this. It's a matter of by faith you receive. I'm telling you, even the woman, Jesus said, get away from me. You're Samaritan. This is for the Jews. And she said, hey, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. He's like, wait a minute. She's so determined. She's not going to let anything keep her back from what belongs to her through God. And he said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. I'm telling you, when you get determined, you get an identity who you are, you'll get determined. I'm not going to quit now. I'm not giving up now. I'm not stopping now. You're not talking me out of this. I don't care how long. It might be longer than I wanted it, but I'm not giving up the race. I'm not quitting the fight. It's a fight of faith. It's a race to be completed. And you say, what if you die and it doesn't happen? Then you can stand before the throne of God and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I did not quit. I did not quit. I did not quit. Don't you let the devil have 1 second on your deathbed, on your last breath. Don't you dare give in to the devil at that point. At the last breath, you need to mock the devil and let him know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say, we want you to know, King, that our God is well able. But even if he chooses not to, we still will not bow. Let the devil hear you sing. Let the enemy hear you praise the Lord. Let the last breath in your mouth out of your lungs be, you're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer, Jesus. Jesus, you're my healer. When you get an identity, you'll be so determined, you'll not give up. Shh, my God. It belongs to you. Because your connection is the flow of identity, who you are. Yes. You're not sick trying to get healed. You're the healed of the Lord. Amen. And you're defending against the enemy who's trying to take that healing from you. You're not poor. You're the blessed of God. Amen. Can you imagine me being blessed and my daughter going to school and say, I'm so poor? What kind of horrible father would I be? Your heavenly Father owns everything. As he is, so are you in this earth, the Bible says. You're not poor. I don't see it in my checking account. It's because you've been trying to get the money instead of getting close and snuggling up close to the provider. And say, I want to know you as my provider. This world's got such crazy mindsets. We think poverty is you didn't have a Ferrari or something. That's so crazy. I'm not blessed yet because I only have 3 cars. I'm not blessed because my car is 4 years old. We define being blessed by the value of your car or your zip code. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in very expensive zip codes. You say, wow, they're blessed. No, they might be in real debt. Stressing out. I got to work a third job. Just pay the interest on the loan. That's not God's way. He don't want you stressed out. When you're blessed, he said, remember that it was me that gave you power. See, he wants to bless you in a place. He wants to bring that healing in your life. Why? Because it's all been purchased by the cross of Calvary. Saved means sozo in the Greek. It encompasses every facet of your life. I'm telling you, you are not less, you're more. You are not beneath, you're ahead. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In this world, you have trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. The devil will try to rock your boat because he's trying to steal your identity, because he's trying to take what belongs to you. Yes. But when you begin to discover who you are, you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to tolerate that. Right. It doesn't mean you won't have a fight on your hands. Right. It just means that if you stand strong, having done all, you stand strong. Watch what happens. Yes. Victory belongs to you. Amen. Yes. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I have it. Come on, see, I have it already. Whatever that is that you're believing for, amen? Amen. 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 Hey, give the Lord a hand clap one more time.